The following is a paid presentation. The views and opinions expressed do not necessarily reflect those of WIFE or Whitewater Broadcasting. It's time for To Your Health, brought to you by Rush Memorial Hospital. A weekly visit with the healthcare professionals at Rush Memorial to introduce you to the employees and the various programs at the hospital. And now, your host, Mary Frances Friedel.
Good morning. Our topic today is the flu, how it's diagnosed and how it's treated. And to explain this is Mandy Price, who is a family nurse practitioner at the pediatrics office at Rush Memorial Hospital. Good morning, Mandy.
Good morning. Very happy to be here today.
Oh, thank you so much for coming. Could you tell me what are some of the symptoms of the flu?
So the most common symptoms are usually the ones that people think of, fever, cough, body aches. You might have chills, headaches. Sometimes you'll have a little bit of a runny nose. Those are your most common symptoms.
So just general misery.
Exactly. It's not fun.
And what are some of the complications that can come from the flu?
So most complications are usually minor. Usually you don't have any complications, or you might have ear infection. You might get some pneumonia. Sometimes there can be bad neurological complications if the flu virus actually attacks your brain. And then ultimately you can die from the flu. As far as death from the flu, I can tell you that the latest update in the state is that we've had 2 deaths, age 65 and older. No children have passed this year. But just to give you an idea, last year in the country, 126 kids died from influenza. So it can be deadly.
So that was just the children, then? That was not including adults?
Right. There were thousands of adults.
So how does the flu spread?
So it's actually spread by droplets in the air that get inhaled. And that can be inhaled from somebody coughing, talking, sneezing. And they actually spread and hang out for a long time.
So if someone comes to you and they think they have the flu, do you just diagnose it by listening to the symptoms, or is there a test you can run?
You can kind of diagnose based on symptoms, but for confirmation, we actually, in most offices, there are swabs. You actually swab up high in the nose, and we get it back in like 15 minutes, and we'll know whether it's positive or negative.
Oh, okay.
If it's a severe case of the flu, like a hospitalized person, and the swab's inconclusive, there are blood tests that can be ran.
You were talking about people getting serious complications from the flu. Is this something that happens to people who are already in a weakened condition, or can these serious complications happen to just anyone?
So most deaths are people that are already compromised. But just to give you an idea, healthy people can die from the flu. The country so far this year has had 2 child flu deaths, and one was someone that already had a compromised system, and the other one was a healthy child. So, it does happen.
So, there is a vaccine for the flu, correct?
There is, yes.
Who should get that vaccine?
We recommend it for everybody 6 months of age or older. Children under 2 and adults greater than 65 are the highest risk of death and complications.
When you're saying that these people with serious conditions should get this vaccination, then I guess the vaccine itself is not dangerous?
It's very safe, very effective. Sometimes there will be some minor achiness, soreness, maybe a little redness at the site, maybe a low-grade fever, but very, very safe and very minor symptoms, much less severe than if you get influenza.
So the flu is definitely the danger that you want to prevent.
Correct.
Okay. So is there anyone who should not get the flu vaccine?
There is. If you have moderate to severe illness at the time of vaccination with a fever, then that's a contraindication. Minor illnesses with a fever are not a contraindication. You can still get the vaccine. Of course, if you're allergic to the vaccine, then you shouldn't receive it. There used to be, if you were allergic to eggs, then you couldn't have the vaccine, but that's no longer a contraindication. If you have a severe, severe egg allergy, then you should get it and be watched, of course. But the other contraindication is Guillain-Barré syndrome. If for some reason you had that 6 months after getting the vaccine, then that's a contraindication, but that's really extremely rare. So for the most part, most people can get
Everyone
the vaccine.
Everyone should get it. Yeah. So how is the vaccine given? Is it a shot?
There is a shot. There is a nasal spray. The only thing that we carry in our office is the actual injection. The injection is actually a dead split virus, so it's very, very safe. The nasal spray is a live virus, so there's potential for some viral shedding of the live virus. So that's why we prefer the injection.
And what is viral shedding?
So that's actually because it's a live virus. You can actually shed the live virus to somebody that's immunocompromised. Usually it's very rare, but if you're around somebody that is on chemo with an altered immune system, they could get the virus from the actual nasal spray from somebody else.
So viral shedding is basically giving the virus to another person.
Correct.
Then. And I assume then that you recommend the injection, not the nasal spray.
I do personally, and that's all that we carry. There's just some contraindications with the nasal spray, like asthmatics, COPD. They can't get the nasal spray because it causes wheezing. It can even cause wheezing in a healthy person that gets it. But then there are some parents do not want the injection, and that's another alternative to at least be immunized against influenza.
So. Well, that makes sense. I was beginning to wonder why they have it. So after you get the vaccine, how long does it take before it starts to work?
It's about 2 weeks before you start getting some immunity to it.
And does it cover like every kind of flu?
It only covers about 3 to 4 strains of influenza. And it's always a guess for the makers as to which strains it's going to be during that season.
Are you saying that the types of flu that are just out there are different from year to year?
Correct. They actually mutate, and that's why the vaccine has to be repeated every year. It doesn't last that long, and every year the season is different.
Okay, yes. That makes a lot of sense, because I know that, for instance, I am required to get the flu vaccine at my job, and I have to get it every year. Whereas my childhood vaccinations, you know, you just get a couple of times and then you're done.
Mm-hmm.
So this is sort of a different situation. So if it doesn't always work, is the effectiveness of the vaccine going to change from 1 year to the next?
It does. The last couple of years, we've had kind of rough years with the vaccine not covering completely. So yes, every year can vary.
Well, I guess how effective is it in general? How many deaths do they think are prevented by people taking the vaccine?
We believe that it reduces flu deaths by about 41%.
Is the flu vaccine usually covered by insurance?
It is usually covered by most insurance companies. And for children, if you do not have insurance, the federal government provides vaccines for children, or VFC. So that's another option for uninsured children.
If I get the vaccine and it doesn't work, and I still get the flu, is the fact that I got the vaccine going to have any effect on how sick I get when I get the flu?
Yes, it can. Even if you do get the flu and you've had the vaccine, most likely you're going to have a less severe illness than if you didn't receive the vaccine. I actually found a study in 2018. It's an adult study. A vaccinated adult was about 59% less likely to be admitted into the ICU if they were vaccinated. And if they did go to the ICU, they were discharged about 4 days sooner than non-vaccinated influenza patients. Kind of shows that it can kind of reduce the severity of the illness.
Well, that's a very good argument for getting the vaccine.
Yes.
Getting the flu is bad enough. Getting a severe case is
Yeah, and I do want to mention, as far as getting the vaccine, for parents, the children, you're going to miss less work days, hopefully. Because if your child gets the flu, they're probably going to be out for about a week. You know, it's a financial impact. Missed work.
And then I guess also, if you're going to be around the elderly, my mother used to live with me. She was in her 80s. I needed to have the flu vaccine just to protect her then.
Right. Part of being vaccinated for the flu is to protect, you know, those babies 6 months and under that can't get the shot, somebody on chemo with a really low immune system that can't receive the vaccine. You're protecting those around you as well.
Did you say that pregnant women can still get the vaccine?
Yes, pregnant women can get the vaccine in any part of their pregnancy.
You mentioned that babies can't get it until they're 6 months old. So if I'm pregnant, I get the vaccine. My baby cannot get the vaccination for the first 6 months. Does the fact that I got the vaccine give my baby any protection against the flu?
It does actually cover a little bit of protection for it. Not as good, of course, as the vaccine, but initially, probably the first month or two, there will be a little bit of protection for the infant.
Well, that's a really different way of looking at the vaccine. It's not just a way to protect me when I get the vaccine, but to protect other people around me.
Right.
That's another really good argument for getting it. So when should you get the flu vaccine?
So the month of October is the best time to get it. That's what CDC recommends. If you get it before October 1st, then the vaccine might not last the whole season if we have a late flu season. And then we like to have the vaccinations done before the end of October, just in case there is an early flu season. And, you know, Indiana's already had a couple deaths, so the flu, unfortunately, is here. But with all that being said, it's never too late to get the vaccine. You can get it any time through the flu season. You're just better protected the earlier you do it.
And what exactly is the time period for the flu season?
Generally, it starts, you know, November to probably April. The last couple years, February and March, have been probably the highest rates of influenza for our state.
Well, that's even worse because that's when the weather's really bad.
Right.
So it kind of adds insult to injury.
Yes.
When is someone who has the flu contagious? Are they contagious the entire time they have it or before they know they have it? Or how does that work?
So something that's really interesting is you're actually contagious about 24 to 48 hours before you ever show symptoms. So that's just another thing that makes the vaccine great, because people who aren't vaccinated might be spreading it before they even know that they have it. So these kids are at school touching things and spreading it around to everybody. So you're still shedding the virus about 5 to 10 days after your symptoms stop. And you're most contagious when you have a high fever and really bad symptoms. That's when you definitely need to stay home.
So you basically could be contagious for even like a couple of weeks.
Right.
So that's a pretty long time frame in which you could be sharing your flu.
Yes.
So are there medications to treat the flu?
Yeah, there are antiviral medications. These are not antibiotics. It's not going to cure the flu. It might take maybe a day off of the illness. It might protect those people that are at risk for complications, such as asthmatics and people with heart disease. It can give some protection to them.
So if you can't give them a viral medication after the first 48 hours, what happens to these people who are in the hospital with complications? How are they actually treating the flu at that point?
So yeah, you mentioned if you're going to do the antiviral, you have to do it 48 hours from symptom onset. Once 48 hours hits, then it's no longer going to do anything. But the exception is actually hospitalized patients. They will do the antivirals after 48 hours if somebody is really sick.
And then other than that, they're just managing whatever the symptoms are.
Right. It's symptom management.
Well, you've got so many good arguments for getting the flu vaccine. Why does everyone not get it?
So I think a lot of it is safety. Parents and patients worry about safety of the vaccine. This vaccine does not have Thermosil. There's no mercury. It's very safe. I think a lot of people think it doesn't work, or I got it last year and it didn't work.
I guess there's also the, it's not going to happen to me, or it's right. Not going to happen to my child, right?
Yeah, and I want to reiterate that you are not going to get the flu from the flu shot, because it is a dead split virus. Sometimes you're exposed to the flu while your body's building up immunity, and it feels like you got the flu from the flu shot, but unfortunately, it was just bad timing.
Right. Well, a lot of parents work, and it's very hard for them to take off work to take their child to the doctor. If I'm working and I can't take off, and I want my caregiver to take my child in to get the shot, what would I have to do so that they could do that?
As long as you've been in the office and you have filled out the list of people who are allowed to bring your child to the office for treatment, as long as they're on the list, then we can see them. And for flu vaccines, Dr. Keto's office, you do not need an appointment, so you can walk in, which makes it even more convenient. Right now, our walk-in hours for sick visits are 8 a.m. to 9 a.m., but actually for the vaccine, you can walk in anytime, all day long as we're in the office.
Well, it seems like you're making things as easy as possible.
We are trying.
Prevention is a lot easier, it sounds like, than having to suffer through the flu.
Yes.
So thank you so much for coming in today. We really appreciate the information, and hopefully you'll have helped prevent some cases of flu.
Hopefully. Thank you for having me.
You can listen to past shows of To Your Health. Log on to rushmemorial.com and click on podcasts. Join us again next week for another visit with Rush Memorial Hospital. It's To Your Health, brought to you by Rush Memorial Hospital on Hometown Country 94.3 WIFE. The proceeding was a paid presentation. The views and opinions expressed do not necessarily reflect those of WIFE or Whitewater Broadcasting.